Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and we will commence reading at verse 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, reading from verse 5, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. It's quite a long chapter, but we feel we need to read it all, take in what the Lord is saying to us. Dealing with the last days. Luke 21, verse 5, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in the Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, and the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, Behold the fig tree, and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Amen. And may the Lord bless the solemn portion of his word to all of our hearts. I've entitled my message this morning, Coping in the Last Days, because we are in the last days. The last days are those days from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ unto his coming again. But I am sure you would agree with me that we must be living in the last of the last days. The Lord's coming, of course, is the great hope of the church. There's many things that happen and many trials come to discourage us and to hearten us. But we know, as it were, the end of the story. Christ is coming again. No matter what anybody says, Christ is coming again. And he's coming for his people. And he's going to reward his saints. He's going to put down all the ungodly with all their ungodly deeds. And God is going to right all wrongs. So we are confident today that God is still on the throne, no matter what happens in the world. These days, of course, are great days to be in, because we're living in a time of fulfilled prophecy. We can see prophecy been fulfilled before our eyes. It's a time of expectation when we are expecting the coming of the Lord, and expecting in the meantime God to do great things for his people. It's a time of opportunity for sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're encouraged when the Lord says he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So no matter about atheism, no matter about apostasy or anything else, God is at work and God is building his church. I remember reading a story one time, and two Christians met together, and one said to her, "You know, there's nothing happening." Another said to him, "How do you know that? Sure, God doesn't have to tell you everything he's doing. And God is always working." Sometimes we feel, is God not working? Is God forsaken us? But God is always doing something. And even in hard times, God is at work. So there's a great opportunity for sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's also another view of this time. It's a time of great tribulation. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is speaking here of the destruction of the temple and destruction of Jerusalem. And that came in AD 70, when the Romans encompassed Jerusalem and razed it to the ground, and at least 1.5 million people perished. But it also refers to the last days when the Lord Jesus Christ does come. And the Lord has given us signs, and these things which must surely come to pass. And one of the signs he gave was, as it was with Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what were the days of Noah like? Genesis 6 and verse 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Great wickedness in the world. And we're also told they were marrying and given in marriage. They were building and all the rest of it. And we might say, well, you know, that's pretty normal, isn't it? Building and marrying. But the important thing is what's not there. There was no time for God. God was not in all their thoughts. And we're living surely in a society, in a time where people are saying, no God. No God. And it's the fool that God says, that says there's no God in his heart. And that's the day in which we're living. And God has ultimately been putting out of his own creation. In fact, people don't believe that God was the creator of heaven and earth. But we know better because we believe the word of God. The time for everything, but God, a godless society. Now, we do thank God that we can still meet in this manner. But you know, there's many across the world and they're meeting in secret. And because they own a Bible, because they testify that they're a Christian, they've been incarcerated in prison. And we're told that in North Korea, there could be up to 70,000 Christians incarcerated because they own the name of Jesus. And of course, we all know in recent times, the furore, when Pastor McCollum said that Islam was satanic and it was of the devil. Well, if it's not of God, then who is it of? And the whole furore about that. And it's just the signs that the pressure is coming on. And Christians are going to face persecution. But God is with us. And if we stand true to God and use the means of grace, God will be with us and help us through. But if we think of the last days and coping the last days, well, first of all, we have to be aware of the signs of the times. And we read in verse 25 of this chapter, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Now, we're not going to go over the whole of Luke 21 and all the thing, all the ramifications of the last day, just as it were an overview. But there's going to be signs. There's signs that will come. And he said there'll be signs in nature, signs in the heavens, signs in the moon, signs in the sun. And what those signs will be, perhaps there'll be times of darkness, but times maybe there'll be, the sun will be hid, all the rest of it. But there's going to be signs in the nature. Distress of nations. Was the world ever living in a time when there's so much distress of nation? It used to be people who said years ago, "Well, I think I'll emigrate and I'll go somewhere where there's a bit of peace." Now, where would you go today where there's peace? We think of Syria, we think of Ukraine, we think of Afghanistan and Iraq and all these countries. Where's the peace? I mean, they're blowing Syria to bits. And what for? Distress of nations. And if we only knew the half of it, the Prime Minister and the leaders of this world really don't know what way to turn. They're putting a brave face on it. But this world is going to be convulsed when Christ comes again. And the circumstance and the coming of the Lord will be that it will be alarming to the senses and hearts of men. Men's hearts failing them because of what's happening in the earth. They're failing them now. We know what all happened in the time of the great economic crash. Men that were billionaires at night, the next day were paupers. And their hearts failed them, and many took their own lives. And many are in distress because of what's happening. If the giving of the law at Sinai was terrible, and so it was, and Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." That's when God came to Mount Sinai to meet with the people of God. What will it not be before the return of Christ, when the powers of the air, the sun and the moon and the heavens shall be shaken? And you can well imagine how men's hearts will feel them. But Jesus said, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." If the battle-seasoned Roman soldiers became as dead men when the angel rolled away the stone after Christ had risen, how greater will the terror be when Christ shall return to judge the earth? Men's hearts failing them, distress of nations, and it's going to be global. I believe that's going to be global. Little wonder Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And sometimes people describe God, as if they believe him at all, as a gentle old man that wouldn't say boo to a goose. And I tell you, God is a God of love, yes. Most certainly, or you or I wouldn't be here today. But he's a God of wrath. He's a God of truth. And God, the judge of all the earth, will do right. And there's many things have been done wrong. And many people have suffered at the hands of evil and wicked men, and they're not getting justice. But God will right all wrongs in that day. He will. And I tell you, I wouldn't like to be an unsaved person. Because Jude tells us in his little epistle that God is coming, the Lord is coming to judge all the ungodly and all their ungodly deeds. And it's a day of vengeance. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't get the justice that we deserve. But we leave it with God, because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. This world is running down. The skeptics say, where's the hope of its coming? Sure, all things continue as they were, but they're not. This world is running out. And its time is running out for this world. And the coming of the Lord draweth near. The Lord's coming will be sudden when it actually appears, but it will be preceded by these signs. These signs which must surely come to pass. Revelation verse 1 and 1. They will come to pass. I wonder, are we aware of the signs? Are we living in the light of the Lord's coming? Are we burying our heads in the sand and ignoring what has happened? Do we know the signs of the times? Signs in the heavens. Signs among the nations. And of course, the sign among the nations is the nation of Israel. That's a great barometer of where we are with regard to the coming of the Lord. And the Lord says here, when you see Jerusalem and being surrounded by armies, the time is near. Things seem to be a wee bit quieter in Israel at the moment. But you can well imagine, with no peace in the Middle East, the Palestinians crying out for a homeland and agitating, and all sorts of nations agitating with them. You can see the time coming when other nations that have been supporting Jerusalem will say, that's enough. That's enough. And they'll come against Jerusalem. And that is a true sign. The Jew is always a good sign of the coming of the Lord. Read in verse 29 of this chapter that, and he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Now, Israel has been known as the fig tree. And then it says all the trees. So he's speaking here not only of Israel, but all the nations. And all the nations, distress of nations, and it's abundantly evident today, as we have seen, signs in the environment. We've seen famine. We've seen drought. We've seen floods. Unprecedented floods in England and Wales last year, and even somewhat in our own land. But I sometimes think God doesn't give us the severity of his judgment. There's still a witness here for his glory. I'm not saying there's not a witness in England, Scotland and Wales, but it's very small. And where there's still the people worshipping God, God has been gracious to us. And we haven't had the floods the way England have had them. We haven't had the drought the way they've had it. There's been lightnings and thunders and earthquakes in England. And these are all signs of the coming of the Lord. Signs. Persecution. Notice verse 17. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Shall be hated. Can't you see it coming out? Can't you see it coming out in broadcasts and the media? This hatred for anything Christian. And now they're trying to take Christianity out of the politics, and so that you have a secular society, and that Christians do not have an influence morally or any other way. That's what's happening in our land. We have got a prime minister who brings and introduces redefinition of marriage, giving the right to homosexuals not only to marry but to adopt children. That cries out for the judgment of Almighty God, and it will come. It will come. Make no mistake about it, unless there's national repentance. And Mr. Cameron tells us England's a Christian country, and he's doing all in his power to undermine our Christian beliefs and values. But these things should encourage us, because the Lord said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your heads. Be encouraged. Don't get down about it. Don't get into despair. But keep looking on to Jesus. That's what Paul exhorts us to do. Looking on to Jesus, who is the author and the finish of our faith. You know, sometimes we look at man and we put our trust in this, and we put our trust in that party, and we trust in somebody else. We should be trusting in the Lord, waiting upon him. He said, don't be getting discouraged. Don't be troubled, for your redemption draweth nigh. Then we are to appropriate our opportunities to witness for Christ. Notice what he said in verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And verse 30. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh. So, brothers and sisters, the coming of the Lord is nigh. The days are hastening very fast. What should we be doing? We should be up and doing. And instead of slackening in our evangelical efforts, we should be multiplying them. We should be endeavouring more to get the word of God out, even to those that are opposed to us. We should be redoubling our efforts in the gospel. Does my heart good to hear the children this morning singing the hymns and etc. And keep on at it. We need to reach the young people and the boys and girls in this day and generation. And we're to appropriate our opportunities. There are still opportunities. Now I know that people say that the schools and all are close to the gospel. And that may be in many occasions. But I know when I was looking after Ballymigurney, I was into two schools. And my son, Philip, he works in Belfast, mainly in Port of Down. And, you know, there's so many schools open, he just can't cope with it. And he would need somebody in a gap year to come in and help him. And he's had to turn down this year opportunities to get into assemblies, to have Bible clubs after school. So there's an opportunity. But when that door will close, we don't know. But that door is open. Brethren and sisters, we need to make hay, as it were, while the sun shines. Because there will a day come when those doors will not be open. I mean, the Prime Minister now and his cabinet are going to tell you and I how we should bring up our youngsters and how we should look after them. And so we need to take the opportunity, appropriate our opportunities while we have them. And you know, while we're serving others, we won't be focused on ourselves and all our difficulties and problems. You know, the devil must be delighted when he sees churches and assemblies at one another's throats and bickering and arguing over this and over the other thing. And you know as well as I do, sometimes all the difficulties and arguments in churches are over trifling things. Sometimes they're not, and I accept that. But we should be united and going forward as an army, terrible, with banners, looking on to Jesus. It doesn't matter about the difficulties. There was always difficulties. You put yourself in the place of the disciples. When the 12 of them, when they brought in somebody to take Judas' place, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Christians in the early New Testament church. There was difficulties. They were thrown to the lions. They were imprisoned. They were sawn asunder. But the gospel multiplied and souls were saved. And brothers and sisters, we're called to stand where they stood. We should appropriate all the our opportunities to witness for Christ. And you know, there's more ways than one, as somebody said, to skin a cat. There's more ways than one to get the gospel open. You know, and I know, how difficult it is to get people in under the sound of the Word of God. You could hardly pay people to come into a gospel meeting, but there's different ways. And you know, I often think, remember the Lord said to Moses, "What's that in your hand?" "It's a rod. It's a stick." "What could I do with that?" Well, with the hand, with God in it, he smote the Red Sea and it parted hither and thither. When he threw it ground, it turned into a snake and swallowed the Egyptian snakes. Powerful thing. When he smote the rock, the water came out. What's that in your hand, brother? What are you good at? Sometimes I think, I mean, it wouldn't be my field. I mean, I daren't go near my motor car, because if it's not running at the minute very well, when I would go to it, it'd be stopped altogether. But maybe somebody's a mechanic, and there's somebody down the road, and you couldn't talk to them about the Lord, and you couldn't get them in under the sound of the Word, but their car has broken down. You could slip down and say, "Have a wee bit of bother here," and do something for them. And I sometimes think, practical things. The ladies, some of the ladies are excellent bakers. And maybe there's a woman down the street, or next door neighbour, and she says, you never get her into the gospel, she doesn't want to hear about it. But you know, they say it sometimes the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And I think the ladies are no different sometimes. Bake a few scones, take half a dozen down, say, "Look, I was baking these, I had a few over, I thought you might be able to use them." And I don't think anybody's going to refuse them. Just wee ways to get in on people. There's different ways. Just you can get in on people. Hard people. Want them with the gospel, the bold gospel. You wouldn't get anywhere. They would just clam up. But sometimes there are just different ways. Through the children's meetings, each child will hear the Word of God. So there's many ways that we can appropriate our opportunities for reaching others with the gospel. And of course, there's helping our missionaries and helping those that are sending out gospel literature, subscribing to them, praying for them, and helping in any way. And then we're to be attentive in our devotional life. Notice what the Lord says in verse 33. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always." Attentive to your own devotional life. Yes, the Lord knows all about the skeptics and the scoffers, those that say, "Where's the hope of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning of the world." But there's going to be strong persecution. But the Lord said, in the midst of it all, just you take care of your devotional life. Just you keep going on with the Lord. Keep it the place of prayer. And we all know the prayer meeting is the smallest meeting in the life of the church. But in these days, it should be packed out. It should be packed out. People calling upon the Lord to preserve his witness and to bless those that are involved in the work of God. I tell you, brothers and sisters, and I speak to my own heart, if I'm not close to the Lord, if I'm not in his word every day, if I'm not seeking the Lord's face in prayer, if I'm not fellowshiping with the people of God when I can, If I'm not trying to do something for the Lord, I'm going to fall. See, when the persecution comes, it will separate the goats from the sheep. It certainly was. Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me 2,000 years ago. Why? Having loved this present evil world. And is there not that sense in the Church of Jesus Christ today, the love of the world? Some of God's people are in it up to the neck. They haven't time to come to the prayer meeting, but they've time to go to the ball game or something else. And I'm not criticizing, but I'm criticizing for people not attending the place of prayer. Unless we're walking close to the Lord, we will not stand. We will disappear like snow of a ditch on a summer's day. We need to be close to the Lord and walking in fellowship with Him. When Peter followed afar off, he denied the Lord three times with oaths and curses. Falling afar off. There's no such thing as falling afar off and being close to the Lord. Something to be looking at here, the authority of God's word. Notice verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. These are the words of Christ. These are the words of deity. It's a good text to prove the deity of Christ. He didn't say God's words will not pass away. He said, my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, because Jesus Christ is God. And that's the great attack today, is upon the deity and lordship of Christ. But he said, my word shall not pass away. That's a claim to deity. And you and I know that Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we have to be attentive to our own devotional life. Notice what he said in verse 34. Take heed to yourselves. Now, you might say, well, that's for Mrs. So-and-so, or that's for Mr. So-and-so. No, they haven't been out in a while, and a wee bit slack in their attendance. This was said to the likes of Peter, James, and John. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's overindulgence. That word surfeiting can also be translated headache. What does a person get when they overindulge, especially at the booze? They get a headache. Overindulgence, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Cares of this life. People are worrying themselves to death. They're shortening their lives, as it were, because of worry and the cares of this life. You know, just saying there a while ago that during the Great Depression, the credit crunch came, and men lost their billions or their millions, and they were paupers. Well, that not happened to me, for I don't have millions or billions. I tell you what I do have. I have every need supplied. For God has promised that, every need. So what I need any more for? I'm just happy enough with the needs provided for. And worldliness. And he says in verse 34, or verse 35, for as a snare shall it come, that is the second coming of all them that dwell in the face of the whole earth, as a snare. People have been snared. I wonder, Christian, you can be snared by the popularity or seeking pleasure or the things of this world. You've been snared by them. You're losing out with God. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We can see the signs, and they're all going to come, and it's going to get worse. And Paul tells us evil men shall wax worse and worse. Perilous times shall come. So we're to take heed to ourselves. And that shows us the immense importance of humility. Humility. Let's not think of ourselves more than we ought to think of ourselves. Bishop Ryle once said, there is no sin so great, but we may fall into it. There is no saint so great, but he may fall into a great sin. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's be easy on the criticism. For there, by the grace of God, go I. But let's make sure that we're walking close to the Lord. There's plenty of examples in the Word of God of great men who fell into great sin. We think of Noah, and he escaped the pollutions of the world before the flood, and yet afterwards he was overtaken by drunkenness. And we know what followed after that. Abraham, the father of the faithful. He was father of the faithful, and yet through unbelief he said falsely that Sarah was his sister. It was a half lie. She was his half sister. But a half lie is a whole lie. There's no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. He told an untruth to save his skin and to save her skin. But it was a lie. Lot did not take part in the evil of Sodom, and yet he afterwards fell into great sin with his two daughters in the cave. Incest. And David was a man after God's own heart, and yet we know he plunged into the most heinous sin of adultery and murder, because he had Bathsheba's husband put in the hottest part of the battle, knowing that he was going to die. And yet David's repentance was great, Psalm 51. But it just teaches us, none of us are above falling. We can all fall, we can do that which is wrong. But thank God, there's always a way back. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, verse 22 of this encourages us. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. God's word is going to be fulfilled. No matter the skeptics, no matter what the atheist so-called says, God's word is going to be fulfilled to the very jot and tittle. Every word. And it's a day of vengeance. And as we said earlier, God will revenge his own people. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And he will do it. And he'll make wrongs right. And Christ will be all and all. And I'm glad that I am on the Lord's side. Or rather, he's on my side. When that day comes, I'll be glad I'm a Christian. I'll be glad that I'm saved and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The Lord has triumphed. He triumphed over the devil, and he triumphed over sin and over the grave, and is an exalted Saviour. And he makes intercession for his people. He's our advocate with the Father. We're in safe hands. And so we can continue to serve him, looking on to Jesus. He said in verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always. It's the hardest place to get to, isn't it? Mr. Spurgeon used to say, the hardest place he found to get to was a study. Because there's always something coming up, somebody looking at his attention. But he said it was the most blessed place when he got there. And brother and sister, we need to pray. We need to pray. And just a wee word for the unsaved. 1 Peter 4:18 says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I wouldn't like to be unsaved in these days. Because I tell you, the pressure is going to be so great upon the Christian, nobody will want to add themselves to them. Because people say, oh, that's not for me. Look what he's been through. He's lost his business. He's under persecution. And it might be too late. Come you to Christ today. Stand on the Lord's side. Come to him and lose your sin and have salvation and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where the ungodly? And Judas told us that God has come to judge all the ungodly and all their ungodly deeds. You see, men love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But that day the light of the world is going to come. and the thoughts of all men's hearts are going to be made plain. There's nobody going to be missed out. We will all give an account unto God in that day when the Lord has come. The judge of all the earth will do right. I'm glad I'm sheltered under the blood. I'm glad that my sins have been dealt with at the cross of Calvary. And brethren and sisters, be encouraged. Look up, be encouraged, for your redemption draweth nigh. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.